You'll know the Aldi advert, don't you, where they compare two of the same product. One is made for Aldi and or Aldi. We always have this discussion in the car, is it Aldi or is it Aldi? Aldi. And one's by Aldi and one is by that well-known manufacturer, maybe Heinz or Tetley or whatever. And they try to tell you that the one from Aldi is just the same, if not better, than the other one, but cheaper. And for some people, they get that straight away and they're happy to do the swap to Aldi's and buy their product and save the money. But for others, changing what you've known maybe all your life, even if it is better value, is just too difficult to do straight away, if ever. And it's like moving from one mindset or way of thinking to a totally different one. What about changing worldviews from one culture to another? Some of you here will know exactly how that feels. Or moving from one period of history to another, or as simple as moving from a black and white screen to a full HD color screen. And I guess that's kind of how it is when we become Christians, when we take on this role, this task of being disciples. Colossians 1 verse 13 reminds us, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." As disciples, we are transferred to a different reality, a new way of living and thinking. And in verse 3 and 4 of our Bible reading, these verses are communicating the extraordinary reality that God has graciously reached out to us in order to draw us into a divine life, to give us a new life, to live in a new reality, to leave behind the old way of living and thinking and acting. We are in fellowship with, participate in, and partnership with God in the full reality and joy of this experience. And if the full reality and joy of this experience has dawned on us, then the rest of our lives are given to learning to live in a new and godly life that demonstrates that we are God's partners. It's something that that consumes us every day, in everything, in everywhere, not just on a Sunday. Since we belong to God, Peter's letters encourage us to confirm this calling. In verses 5 to 9, we read about what that confirming of our calling looks like in everyday life. It means these things: stepping out each day in faith, embracing what is good, growing in our knowledge and understanding of God, learning to control temptations to live selfishly, persevering when things are tough, keeping our eyes fixed on what it means to live God's life, and learning to love each other deeply. But actually, in reality, for many Christians, this isn't an everyday, everything, every way, where way of living. Instead, perhaps they live at a very shallow level in their spiritual lives because they understand the Christian experience to be a one-time event. You come perhaps to the mercy seat, you ask God to forgive your sins, and that's it. Now you're a Christian, and you're waiting for heaven. You try to be a good person, and you go to church, and you live as though that is all there is to life. But any of these things by themselves misses the point of what Christ has in mind for us. There is more, so much more. True discipleship is absolutely necessary if we're going to progress in the Christian life beyond spiritual infancy. True discipleship is the intentional development of spiritual disciplines for the purpose of personal growth and the transformation of one's character into Christ's likeness. Discipleship is not what you do to help someone else. It's what you do for yourself to take on the character of Christ. It's an inside job as we surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. It's entering into God's life. And this life is possible because we read that in Scripture today. It is possible every day, in everything, in everywhere. It is possible to live this life. So what does true discipleship involve? But firstly, true discipleship requires us to be intentional. the work of God is not something that happens automatically or accidentally. It happens as we engage our will and seek the fullness of God in our lives at every level. We do the things that are necessary for spiritual growth. We surrender our will to the will of God so that God's will becomes our will. We deliberately and consistently make time for God. We develop our prayer life. We read God's word and we listen for him to speak to us. We think about him through the day and pray that we will be able to love him more tomorrow than we do today. We want to obey him. We learn his heart and pray that he would develop his character in us. So it requires us to be intentional. But it also requires us to be passionate for God. We can't be passive. You will have exactly as much of God as you want of him. Jesus told two parables illustrating this. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." What we notice here is that both individuals sold everything they had to get what they wanted. So often we hear about the cost of discipleship as though discipleship only comes at a great personal loss to ourselves. But what we notice here is that these individuals who sold everything they had did not think they were giving up anything. They thought they were going to gain something which had far more value than everything else they owned. They were more than willing to give up everything they had to gain something that was worth more than everything they possessed. God wants us to want more. More of life, more of him. But we think God has come to take things away from us. We think all we have to give up. We worry that God will make us weird or ask us to do something strange like going to Africa or becoming a preacher or an officer. Oh my word. We think that if we take this really seriously, we'll turn into some religious fanatic. I think that it's unfortunate that people so often think that fanaticism is the true picture of a life totally committed to God. The truth is that the more we are committed to God, the more normal and healthy we become. God wants us to take on his character. He wants us to learn to forgive like he forgives, to love like he loves. Because he is a God of grace, he wants us to exhibit grace in our relationships. He wants us to learn to suffer the difficulties in life patiently and faithfully. He wants us to do the right thing even when it's difficult and unpopular. He wants us to love our enemies and do good to those who despitefully use us. He wants us to have humility. He wants us to provide the necessary emotional support for our families because of a changed heart that moves from selfishness to selflessness. He wants to spend our lives doing as much good as we can, even if it means sacrifice on our part. He wants us to model his patience with people. He wants us to prefer giving to getting. These are the things that take place on the inside of us and can happen every day in everything and everywhere. Hear this carefully. It's not what you do for God that is so much important. It is who you become that matters to God. That is holiness. Holiness is not measured by what you abstain from, but what you give yourself to. God doesn't want your activity. He wants you. In fact, if you do all the kinds of good things for God without becoming the person he has in mind for you to become, it will mean nothing. But in order for this to happen, there must be a total surrender on your part. On our part, so that God is able to work in us. We must die to ourselves and our will and take up his life and desire to do his will. Jesus said, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." To be quite truthful, yours and my idea of life is pretty pitiful compared to what God's idea of life is. God has so much more in mind for each of us. it is so much better and so much more satisfying. Your joy will be so much greater and your life will mean so much more. But it means that you must turn over your life completely to Him. Your mind, your will, your body, your soul, your thoughts, your motive, your emotions, your social life, your everyday, everything, and everywhere. This surrender can't be partial. It requires everything. Jesus said, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. And the only way that you can give up everything you have is when you realize that everything you have does not begin to compare to the everything God wants to give. Live passionately for God. Live passionately for God. And then true discipleship requires us to desire to be used by God. We want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We want to long for the privilege of being used by God and identified with His kingdom. We can't stand the thought of a self-centered life where we just want to make as much money as we can and have all the most fun we can. We want to live to have an eternal dimension. We want to invest ourselves in the kingdom of God. We want to discover our gifts and use them for the glory of God. The Apostle James asks, what good it does if someone is in need and you have the means to help them and you merely tell them that you're praying for them? He says, in the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by actions. If not accompanied by actions, is dead. When we serve God in this way, not everyone's way of serving God will be the same. Some will head out onto the streets on the soup run or help in the lunch club. Some will pray for those who do this. Others will call on someone in need. Still, some others will support people financially. Some will minister in jails, in nursing homes, or in the home of someone who is housebound. Someone will befriend someone who's marginalized or lonely. Some will serve in the hostels. Some will make things for those who are struggling or do small repair jobs. Some will sing or play on Sunday or teach in a class. Some will find people in need or do what they can to bind up the wounds of those who are hurting. John Wesley famously said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Every day, everything, everywhere. A positive spirit, love, and kindness are rare in this broken world. And God has called us to be His people and make a difference. And the world around will notice this. Discipleship is not an option for the Christian. It's not that some people have the choice of being sold out Christians and others don't have to go that far. Discipleship is not for the really religious types. It is a requirement for all who call themselves by the name of Christ. Is that you? The call of God is for us to grow up and receive our spiritual heritage. The writer of the book of Hebrews said to the people to whom he was writing, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let me repeat that last verse. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Every day, everything, everywhere. We are our best selves when we are being transformed by God's Spirit. And life is its most exciting when we find our fulfillment in Him. When we risk trusting God, we find out who God really is and who we really are. We are to live up to who we are in God. We are to be a kingdom of priests and kings. The Bible says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. So tomorrow, or even as soon as this meeting is finished, what will it mean for you to live in this wonderful light? What are some of the likely challenges that you will face in living in this kingdom, yet still living in your everyday earthly surroundings with people who see a different reality from you? How do you interact with others who have different values, different expectations, and different goals without sounding as if you are holier than thou? Every day, everything, everywhere. How will that work out for you? Bob Dylan wrote a song which contained the words, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. If Jesus is our Lord and our Master, the one who we are apprenticed to and whom we are following, then it's his voice that we should be hearing constantly, his actions that guide us, his attitudes that inform us every day, in everything, and everywhere. Those words in 2 Peter say we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God every day, in everything, and everywhere. Do you live that life? Do you? We have an opportunity in these moments now to make that pledge afresh, to live a life that pleases God in every day, in everything and everywhere. You should all each have one of these commitment cards, and there's some more here, and Darren will have some as well. And if you feel able to, and if you feel it's right to, I would encourage you to make that pledge afresh, perhaps here at this place. And sign your name to say, I want to live a life that pleases you, Lord. Every day, in everything, in everywhere. The songsters earlier sang a beautiful prayer, which we're going to listen to again as we reflect and respond just now. Humbly bow. Humbly bow. We bring our all before you now. We bring our all before you now. Total surrender. Humbly bow before the King. We humbly bow. We bow in adoration. We kneel in dedication. We give our lives. We lift our voices. Honor you, Lord, in our choices. Honor you, Lord, in our choices. We humbly bow. Do you come before the Lord to give him all your life, to surrender that and say, I want to live every day, in everything, everywhere, in a way that pleases you, in true discipleship, fit for the task, honoring you in all my choices. And if you want to make that commitment, that sign your name to that pledge, then where you're sitting or at this place of prayer, let's do that as we just spend some time with the Lord just now, responding as we listen to this song. Thank you. together. We bow in adoration. We kneel in dedication. We give our lives. We lift our voices. Honor you, Lord, in our choices. Honor you, Lord, in our choices. Father, I pray that you will mold us and make us each into the people that you want us to be. I pray that each of us might be as the clay in the potter's hand. Lord, fashion our hearts to seek you and serve you according to your will. May our lives be a reflection of you as you fashion us into the image of Jesus. Cause our lives to be formed into something that honors you, that you can flow through to touch the world, to further your kingdom, and to bring hope and fullness of life. We want to give our lives and lift our voices, and we want to honor you in our choices so that we are living as your disciples every day, in everything and everywhere. Help us and guide us to use these tools which you make available to live a life that pleases you. In Jesus' precious name, I ask this. Amen. Amen.